me invite you to open your Bible to the book of John. Look at John chapter 14 in a few minutes. But let me ask the Lord to help us. God, I do pray that you would help us to understand your word. Help us to see our need for it. Help us to see Christ and what he has supplied that we can never create for ourselves. Spirit, would you help us to bring comfort, to bring conviction, to enable us to live out what you've called to us. Help me, Spirit, for I'm a sinner. Lord, we want to see you. And so we ask that you would open up the eyes of our heart, that we would see wonderful things in your law today. And we pray this through Christ. Amen. Does anybody here have allergies? I discovered an allergy that I have this week. In fact, I've known I've had it for a long time. I'm allergic to seeking help. A few months ago, I had an accident on a dirt bike. And when I got back home after riding the bike out of the woods, I was in a lot of pain. In fact, so much pain that I passed out. And my wife, saw this, and it was just terrifying for them to watch. Well, when I woke back up, I was in my bed, and I was surrounded by firemen and paramedics. And everybody in the room was telling me that I needed to go to the ER. So what do you think I said? No. I'm good. I'm fine. I'll be okay. What an idiotic response. You're just like me. We think we have what it takes to live life, and we don't want to ask for help. But the truth is, we need help. I mean, do we have what it takes to make it through life? Some of you who are facing life's difficult circumstances right now, can you create hope within yourself? When it comes to resisting the temptation of sins that we give in so often, do you have enough strength to resist the temptation? Some of you are facing difficult decisions about your job or your family or aging parents or kids or finances. Are you smart enough, wise enough to figure it out on your own? No. The answer is a resounding no. You and I need help. The help from God and the help of others. The Holy Spirit was given to us to provide help. That's how he reveals himself in Scripture. And the mature Christian echoes the words of Psalm 40:17, which says, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." Here's the main truth we want to look at today. Since we need help, rely on the Spirit as your helper. Okay, John chapter 14. We're going to look at two verses. John 14, verses 16 and 17. You can follow along in your scripture, or you can follow along behind me. Let me invite you to stand. This is the word of the Lord. "And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Only two things remain forever: it's the Word of God and the souls of men. Please have a seat. Now, before we talk about the Spirit's help, I want to talk about the theology of neededness. Neededness. Before you reach out to God, before you reach out to others for help, you need to understand that you need help. If I'd have really realized the bones that were broken in my body and how unstable I was, I would have immediately reached out for help. You see, it's only when we go to the doctor and the doctor shows us, here is the workings of your heart, and there's a lot of blockage in it, that's when we realize we need help, right? It's only when somebody tells us what we don't have or what we don't need when we reach out. My parents taught me a lot of good things. They taught me to be self-sufficient, to be independent. And while that seems like a win for a parent to teach your kids like that, it's terrible advice. For what God created us to be, not independent, but dependent. To be dependent upon Him and to be dependent upon others. And we need to understand our need of help. But it's hard, isn't it? Because we want to be self-sufficient. I mean, think about it. When you had a need recently, how difficult was it for you to call somebody? Now, for some of you, that's easy, right? You don't even really have needs. You're just like, hey, can you make dinner for me? Can you watch my kids? But for most of us, it's very difficult to ask for help because we're so worried about what people think of us or perceive us to be. And we want to have credit for doing it ourselves, don't we? We see it in our kids. Hey, do you need help tying your shoes? Nope, I'm good. Truth is, we have a need. In the Bible, what the Bible screams over and over is, we need help outside of us. We don't have what it takes to make life work. Well, I pulled up some scripture passages just to create within us a theology of neediness, because if we don't see our need, then asking the help of God's Spirit is kind of fruitless. So you remember when we studied Revelation? This is when you go, yes, I remember Revelation. But there's a part in Revelation where we looked at all the different churches and Jesus spoke to each of them. Well, he got to the church at Laodicea. And all the other churches, he said something positive about them and then a challenge. Laodicea, do you remember? There was nothing encouraging that Jesus said about them. In fact, the church at Laodicea is the closest to the American church as all those other churches. They were prosperous. They were comfortable. They didn't have a need, a visible need in their life. And Jesus says, when I look at your attitude, it's as if I have lukewarm water in my mouth, and I just want to spew it out. Look at this verse in Revelation 3:17. You say, talking about to the believers at Laodicea, you say, I'm rich. I've prospered. And I need nothing. So what does Jesus reveal to them? Not realizing that you are wretched and poor and blind and naked. We often think at times we need nothing, don't we? John chapter 15, Jesus expanded upon this and he's teaching his disciples, teaching us, and he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I found the most amazing tomato in my yard yesterday. It was sitting in the middle of the lawn. I call it the Immaculate Conception, vegetable conception. Now, do you believe where this tomato came from? How did this tomato grow? Did it create itself? Did it become red and juicy all by itself? No. It was tied into a vine. It was tied by the vine where it got nutrients and it was enabled to grow. If any of you fall asleep, I'm going to set you. Jesus says, unless you are connected to me, unless you are dependent upon me, you can do nothing. You and I cannot create fruit in our life unless we get the help of God And then 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Where does our sufficiency come from? It comes from God. Where does our help come from? Where does our ability to trust God, to be content, to be joyful, to be generous? It comes from God. We can't create that within ourselves. Our fallen self is way too committed to selfishness and pride. How do you know if you possess a self-sufficient spirit? Look at your prayer life, right? The amount that you pray is directly connected to your understanding of your need. Anybody want to challenge me on that? You go to the doctor's office expecting to get results from something that is scary and dangerous. Are you praying? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you're just rolling into the office tomorrow on a Monday morning and you're the employee of the month, you've accomplished all these things, are you praying? No. Because you believe you have what it takes to face that Monday. Those who pray the most realize their need to pray the most. And boy, if we could just realize that, we would pray more. But we also have a need for others, don't we? Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Adam needed Eve. Eve needed Adam. I need you. You need me. We have a need for others. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brothers, this is how we're to relate to one another. This is how we need each other. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. This is how I need you. I need you to admonish me. When I'm faint-hearted, I need you to encourage me. I need you to help me when I am weak, and I want to do the same for you. Now, for those of you who have ever been faint-hearted or weak and you received help, have you ever been mad about that? No. We need others to handle life, to make it through life. So what are we to believe about our neediness? We need help. We need God's help. This past Thursday night, I asked Tom Farr to come speak to our students and our youth. This summer, we've been having members come and share their testimonies about how God has worked in their life. And it's been great for our students just to see some of you guys who are older and more experienced about walking with God. And did a great job, shared about his life. He got to the end of it, and I thought, well, I'm going to ask him some questions on the spot. And I knew he could handle it. So one of the questions I asked him was, Tom, if you could go back to 14-year-old Tom Farr and you could tell him something, what would you tell him? In my mind, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, he's going to say, read the scriptures. He's going to say, pray more. He's going to say, get in church, because that's what you need. But this is what Tom said. He said, I would tell 14-year-old Tom that he doesn't have what it takes to handle life. He needs Jesus. See, the mark of a mature Christian is to understand their need for Jesus and to constantly ask God for help. You and I, we don't have what it takes to find faith, joy, hope, trust without the Spirit of God. But the good news is God sends his Spirit, and he's our helper. Paul Tripp kind of said it like this. He said, no one celebrates the presence and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ more than the person who has embraced his desperate and daily need of it. You know what he's saying? We honor God more when we say, God, I need you in my life. Well, that takes us to the passage in John chapter 14. If you look at John 14, just to set the context here, Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. It's the night before he would be crucified. And Jesus is basically telling them, well, he does tell them, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be around for a long time. Now think about it as a disciple. As you hear this, that this Messiah that you're following, who has protected you, who has basically told you what to do and where to go, all of a sudden he's going to be gone. What would you be experiencing in that moment? Fear, right? Anxiety, uncertainty. What am I going to do when Jesus is gone? But Jesus comforts them with these words. He says, yes, I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to send another helper. In fact, you will do greater things with him than when I was here. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Now, another helper, who's the first helper? Jesus was referring to himself as the first helper. He says, I have helped you, but I'm going away. But I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to help you in heaven, and the Spirit will help you on earth. Let's look at this term, helper. Some of you may have a different translation that says comforter, counselor. But I think this term helper is perfect for an understanding of this word. The word here, the Greek word, is paraclete. Paraclete. The prefix is para, which means to come alongside of. The verb of the form kletos, which is a verb to be called. So a helper is someone who's called to come alongside, to provide help, to provide assistance. But the last thing to notice from verse 16, he is with us always, never to leave. Jesus says, he will be with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Christian, at no point in your life have you ever been alone. God's Spirit has always been with you. And you can't chase him away by how you live or don't live. He is always with you. Now I want to look at 9 or 10 ways, and I'll go fast, that the Spirit helps us. But so I'm going to talk a lot about how the Spirit helps us in a situation and how he enables us. But I do want to give one parenthetical remark here, because it's easy to kind of hear, oh, I have a need, and I'm just going to call on the Spirit for help, and he's going to help me. And yeah, it kind of works that way. But he's God. He's the sovereign Lord. He's not a genie in the bottle that we rub to help us get the best parking space or lose 5 pounds. He's not a vending machine that we just call when we want to get something that makes our life better. Yes, go to the Lord and ask him for anything. But every time you ask, submit to whatever he wants to answer it with. Okay? So when we go through this list, I hope I didn't say it to where now you're scared to ask. Because I want you to ask more for God's Spirit. But I want you to also honor him by recognizing who he is. Okay, so let's look at the ways that the Spirit helps us. Here's the first that we have. We just forget the spiritual realities of God, Jesus, eternity. How does he help us? He teaches us and he reminds us of Christ and God the Father. John 14, 26. But the Helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. You guys ever have a friend who remembers more of your life than you? I need friends like that because I forget things all the time. I have a few friends who go, Phil, you remember in 1989 where you did this and that? I was like, I had no idea. The role of the Holy Spirit, one of the ways he helps us is to remind us of what Christ has done, of who God is, that we're eternal creatures. This world is not our home. That's one of the ways that the Spirit helps us. So here's what we are to do. We're to answer this prayer, help me, Spirit. Are those words behind me? Help me, Spirit. You're going to see that slide throughout all of these because if you're to leave today and forget everything that I said, which is okay. If you can just remember those three words, when whatever you're facing, you just quickly say, help me, Spirit. Maybe you'll say them 25 times a day. Those who are truly needy will say that 25 times a day. Help me, Spirit. Lord, remind me, this world is not my home. Remind me who God is. Here's a second need that we may have. We sin. We choose sinful practices. We choose sinful attitudes. And we realize it and we just want to stop. But we can't. How does the Spirit provide help? He shows us our sins so that we can return to God. John 16, 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Spirit, help me to see the sin in my life. Now, that's not a very exciting sin prayer to pray, is it? Lord, show me more sin in my life. It's like asking a friend, hey, can you come up and evaluate my body? What do you think? Well, you're kind of balding up there. You know, your belly's getting big. Nobody wants a friend like that. Now contrast it with going to a doctor. And a doctor says, Phil, your blood pressure is too high. Your cholesterol is too high and it concerns me. The Spirit of God, help me, Spirit, to see my sin that is hurting my joy in you, that is hurting my witness of you in my life. That's one of the ways the Spirit helps us. So what we pray is, help me, Spirit. Here's another need that we have. We lack the power to live as God intended. How does the Spirit help us? He provides the power that we need. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. True story. I was typing these words, and immediately on my computer, something came up that said, low power warning. Took the computer cord, plugged it back up, and received the power that I need to keep going. Such an analogy to me that I'm living in life with very low power, and there's this little computer bubble over my head saying, low power in Phil's life. The Spirit comes to help us, to give us the power that we need to just believe God some days, right? Gives us the power that we need to change attitudes and behaviors in our life. So what we pray, help me, Spirit. Give me the power that I need for this situation. Here's another way he helps us. We're discouraged. We've lost hope and peace. Anybody ever been there? Where you're just discouraged? You just don't have hope? Here's the way the Spirit helps us. It gives us hope. It gives us peace. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Do you need hope in your life? If so, here's your prayer. Help me, Spirit. Help me to abound in hope. Because when I look at the circumstances that are happening right now, I don't see a way out. I don't see it ever ending. I don't see how anything's ever going to change. Spirit, help me to have hope. Here's another need we have. We give up praying, or we don't know what to pray. How does he help us? He helps our weakness in prayer. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So our prayer, Spirit, help me, Spirit. I don't want to pray. I'm giving up in prayer. Will you pray for me? The Spirit will help us. Here's another we have. We're confused in knowing what to do. How does he help us? He gives us wisdom. He gives us advice. He directs us. He guides us. Acts 8:29, and the Spirit said to Philip, such a great name, go over and join this chariot. Now, wouldn't it be great if the Spirit did speak like that? What if he is speaking like that often in our life? Or what if we asked him to speak like that? The Spirit's willing to guide you in your decisions if you would just ask. It's been, it's been interesting teaching teenage girls how to drive. I sit in the passenger seat, and they drive. And I'm telling them how to react, where to go, what to do in this situation. And it's helpful, right? One of the ways that the Spirit wants to do is to instruct us, to teach us, to help us. And if we would just ask him, help me, Spirit. Now, probably in 10 years from now, if I'm telling my kids how to drive, they're going to drop me off at my house and drive away because they don't need me anymore. So often we do that with the Spirit, don't we? You and I are making bad decisions in life, are missing out because we're not asking the Spirit to guide us. So what's our prayer? Help me, Spirit. Guide me in this life decisions. Here's another need we have. We're tempted to sin. We can't resist it. You have those sins in your life that you just keep going back to, and you're just like, you know what? This month is different. I'm going to get more accountability. Read more books. I'm going to set 2 alarms to get up in the morning. And we fail and we fail. How about, here's a different way to look at it. How about we ask the Spirit to help us to resist the temptation to sin? That's why he came. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by what? By who? By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So what's our prayer? Help me, Spirit, to no longer choose sin, but to choose you. Here's another need we have. We're weary from his help. He gives us inner strength. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through how? Through his Spirit. Are you beat down? Are you discouraged? Are you weary in life? Where do you get that strength to overcome that? From his Spirit. So our prayer, help me, Spirit, to find strength. Here's the last one. We're unloving, discontent, divisive. We give up easy. We're critical. We're unfaithful, harsh, and undisciplined. Does that describe any of you? It probably describes us more often than we realize. But how does he help? He gives us his Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Spirit, help me, Spirit, to be loving and patient and faithful and persevering. So here's the application time. I hope the greatest application for you would be just that you would begin asking for the help of the Spirit. Help me, Spirit. I've shared before some prayers from Paul Tripp, and he has three simple prayers. He says, I pray every morning before I even put my feet on the floor. But I also think it's a prayer that we can pray many times throughout the day, but it's these. Lord, I am a person in desperate need of help today. Lord, send help. Let the Holy Spirit help me. And then, Lord, give me the humility to receive the help when it comes. Aren't those great prayers? So what has God revealed to you through his word today? I hope it's this, that we are needy people. We need the help of God. The second thing I think he's revealed is we have a helper. The Spirit of God is willing to help you. You don't have to twist his arm. He's not reluctant. He was sent to be a helper. So how will you respond to these truths today? Are you going to continue to go through the day in your own strength and wisdom? If so, I want to ask you, how's that working for you? Or will you and I humble ourselves to begin depending upon the help of the Spirit? I hope that will be our response. God, help us. Help us to see our need for you more often than how we live. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters and myself here that we would recognize and deepen our awareness of our need and just how we fall short of it. But also, Father, I pray that we would leave here today encouraged, maybe for the first time, or optimistic that we have a helper, that we're not alone in the situation, that there is a source of change that we never even thought about before. Spirit, it's you. Forgive us of how we have spurned you or denied your voice. And help us to see how you're willing to help us. So Lord, do this work so that you would be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's all rise and sing together.
You abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're dismissed.